Welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast with Louise Duffy, the podcast which introduces you to the people behind the brands from the worlds of fashion, beauty, and beyond. In today's podcast, I'm so delighted to be joined by one of the leading designers of our generation, Mr. Roland Murray. He has been dubbed the King of Curves thanks to his impeccable tailoring and his ability to create clothes that contour the body. His galaxy dress became an iconic silhouette of the noughties, worn by fans and celebrities all over the world. And for the past 20 years, he has been praised for his intuitive understanding of the female form. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brian Thomas Podcast. Roland Murray, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
It's a pleasure.
There are so many very inspiring aspects of your story that it was hard for me to decide where to start, but let's go right back to the beginning. It's the best place to start. And before we got to know you, there was a boy in Lourdes working in his father's butcher shop.
Yeah.
As unlikely as that might seem, it did incite your appreciation for fashion.
I think you put that seed that took 30 years to grow until I become a fashion designer, but you put every symbols of what I will use to become a fashion designer. Mm-hmm. And the first one was the butcher apron.
Yeah.
That piece of fabric that really trapped me on the career that my father wanted me to take, and which I hated because it was not my choice.
Yeah.
Not because it was a bad job, but it was not my choice. But on the other hand, I was the only kid in the village who could wear this a long, touching the floor piece of fabric that was so outside of the box, so magical, so yeah, unique. And contrary, at the age of 7, I was that kid in the village that had a unique life.
Mm-hmm. And it gave you a heightened sense of anatomy also, didn't it? Like watching what he was doing and the way he would cut meat, which has stood to you because you know the female form so well now. Not that we're comparing like there,
but you can, because as a child, I touch flesh.
Yes.
I touch flesh in its all shape and form, and the concept of the bones, the muscle and the fat for me has the same value. Mm. It's not something I will judge. You will be surprised the amount of designers that just can't touch models' body.
Yeah.
They can't touch real people's
bodies. Okay. You have to be comfortable with that. So your father wanted you to go in that direction.
Yes.
But really, you probably did follow in his footsteps in a way, in that like you working with your hands. Maybe you inherited his talent because you were both working with your hands in a way, although you used it in a different fashion.
In a funny way, Colin McDell, the British journalist, explained me that at the beginning of last century, butchers and architects were treated at the same level because the meat was such an expensive
commodity yeah,
that you couldn't throw it away, you couldn't cut it badly, you had really to
cherish it.
And I cut fabric like my father was cutting meat.
So you were very conscious of making sure you got the most out of everything.
And if I did a mistake, I will never treat it as a mistake.
Okay, and you didn't waste. So then from there, you went on to start create fabrics. There was a lot in between. But nowadays, if students are hoping to study the art of crafts, they go to college and they take particular courses in fashion design and clothes making, but this wasn't something that you did. You didn't have that formal education, so instead you began to design on the mannequin. So that's a very different approach to others.
I think I touched a lot of bodies before to start to make clothes. It sounds like a joke, but touching people and understanding their bodies, understanding the way they're living, and the day I decided to become a fashion designer because I was 36 and I realized that if I didn't try at 40, I would be quite a bitter person.
Okay, yeah.
Bad mouthing the young one would try to do it and not me. That's me. I really pushed myself to in that sense of honesty. And the first thing, a question is, what am I going to talk about? If I put my name inside a piece of fabric, what is it about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where everything came back to the surface and how I start to use it and how I start to use really my background, my roots were not just my father education, my grandparents' education were farmers and working on vineyard. That's been all the craft, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of what we call about craft at the moment, which is so trendy craft. But that was the base of my life and my yeah. education as a child. Mm. I saw all the time my uncle carving wood or taking the sheep in the mountain and yeah. cutting the wool from them and making. I've seen that all my life. Yeah. That's been that luxury of craft that craft. We're selling at the moment in places was yeah. my background.
But it seems to me, and I couldn't draw a matchstick, so it seems to me that, you know, to design on the mannequin and to fold and to see the fabric, the way the fabric will fall, makes a lot more sense than, I suppose, the approach of drawing your creations. I think, like, to actually create them as you go.
It's a bit like a relationship. When you plan a relationship or when you start to live a relationship, you could plan a relationship with someone and say that's going to be that yeah. way. But the moment you start to live with that person, it shapes itself the way
it might not fit so good.
Maybe it's just what it is.
It might be better than you plan, yeah.
Or it's what it is. And I think when you start to drape fabric on a female form or on a form, everything you plan has to be revisited. Everything you think will work, maybe it's not going to work, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So let's then talk about the dress which brought you all to our attention, the galaxy
yes.
dress. And it's an iconic silhouette of the noughties.
Yes.
And what is it about the galaxy dress that really created this frenzy among people? They had to have it.
You know, as a young designer, we're making all the time the mistake to visualize our dress from our catwalk, and the girl will carry our clothes, are going to wear them for maximum 30 seconds or, mm-hmm. and they don't have to wear a bra, they just have to look free and walk on that imaginary street
yeah.
that as catwalk is, and it's just a dream. And when I realized that dream was maybe not the only answer to my job, and I tried to find is there a difference between that girl and the woman who's going to wear it, and one thing is different: the woman who wear it wear a bra.
Yes, yeah.
And
there's more reason to sometimes.
And that, when you start from that situation, you start to question: is it going to restrain me in my creation?
Yeah.
Or is it going to open new doors? And I decide to open new doors with the fact that to really look at that woman the way they are. And how much I try to do it, I still evaluate women on a fitting on a girl, mm-hmm. even if she's got curves, but she will be quite a tall girl, and
yeah.
she won't be. That's been, I would have tendency to push my girl, say, okay, now to ask the model, can you take off the dress and ask one of my girl, okay, can
yeah.
you try it now?
Yeah.
And I want to have the two vision. I want to understand the outfit in my decision through reality.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just judge it by your girl, dreams
yeah.
and my visions.
Yeah. Shapewear is so important to people now, and everybody, you know, what we wear underneath and the bra and all of that is as important as what we wear over it. And we're aware of how important the silhouette is. But that dress almost did it for, well, it did it for us. You know, it flattened the tum. It gave me an arse when I never had one, you know. So it's kind of like architecture for the body almost.
But I think women are like mirror balls. They're multi-characters
yeah.
and they all have this kind of different identities. I think from the life of a woman, you start really early to understand the transformation
yeah.
of who you're becoming,
mm-hmm.
from a young girl to a young adolescent, to a young woman, to a woman, to a working woman, to a businesswoman, to a wife, to a girlfriend, or
yeah.
to a mistress, or to a menopause woman and
yeah.
an aging woman. You know, guys, we don't have that thing.
It's probably
guys, we have
a
one life.
Path,
we have
yeah.
the same life than the height of our heels. You have different height. We just have maximum
yeah.
1 inch heel.
It's tough over this yeah, side of the room.
Our life is so much more easy than yours. But on the other hand, you're questioning yourself so much more, woman.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's fantastic to work with women, because it never stops in that questioning of, how can I deal with myself?
Mm-hmm.
How can the sign of my journey from my body, my mind, how can I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think clothes can be tools to help to deal with that.
And in terms of how we deal with ourselves, you seem to know from listening to you and from watching what you create, you seem to know women very well. And even just by describing that path that women take in their life, you do know women well and you know what they want and you have a close relationship with your customers always.
Yeah.
Has what women want, and this is a big question, what women want when you started 20 years ago, do you think there's a difference now? Do you think we're more assured of ourselves? Do you think it's changed?
First, I just realized recently why I feel that connection, because I think I had the same journey than a woman.
Mm.
I had a journey where it was not giving on the platter to me.
Yeah.
And I think every woman is never given on the platter for any reason, however, try to protect them or to control them. But a woman will be all the time pushed in a direction that she doesn't think is the direction she wants to go. And she will have to build herself through the odds of a family, a business, of a partners. And she will have to prove to herself and to the world what she is.
Yeah.
And I think as a creative guy, gay guy, yeah, I was in and a kid at the time, I had to prove myself.
Yeah.
I could become the person I was without destroying everything around me, mm-hmm, without destroying my family, without destroying my friends and my ambitions. And that's where I really understand how women move on in their life.
Mm.
Is it different now than 10 years ago or 20 years ago? No.
No.
I think what's better now, I think since the Me Too movement, is that acceptance of one of the last taboo of women that men could have control on, where that thing that women will never talk about. And now this, since the Me Too movement and the Women March, where that was like clearing the situation, we are equal and we're not going to allow you to control us through our sexuality and who we are, changed completely.
It was a big part of your Spring Summer 19 collection. Yeah. It was very much, you know, about female empowerment and the female form is what you were kind of encompassing in that collection. How then do you think your clothes empower women? Because it's all about female empowerment, the Me Too movement, and you were the journey for that, or the carrier for that, I guess, with that collection.
I think women wearing my clothes will see all the time themselves in my clothes. That's one thing I never change. But I think it helped quite a lot their partner to feel part of it.
Yeah.
You know, my clothes is never for a woman who want to attract all the attention of the room.
Mm-hmm.
My clothes allowed the woman who wear them to have an equal relationship with everybody she will cross eyes with. Mm-hmm. You will look the woman I dress in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You won't try to catch her boobs or her bum, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that thing. It's directly in the eyes.
Okay.
That strength, why you're meeting an amazing woman and you want...
Yeah, it's elegant, isn't it?
I don't know if it's elegant. We can all of them link femininity to elegance. It's more just that equality.
Yeah.
When a man meet an equal, he loves that.
Yeah.
When he meets his partner, it's something that he can trust on. And it could be another guy or it could be another woman. And I think when it's a woman, I think they're more fascinated about that.
If Spring Summer 19 was about female empowerment and that post Me Too era, what is Spring Summer 20 about? Because the story behind your different lines is very important.
I think since that collection, the 19 one, it's all about values now.
Okay.
If I have that chance to show the world through a show twice a year, a show, I want to share my values.
Okay.
The clothes are not automatically relevant. It's the story that and the values that are relevant. And at the moment, it's clothes are a shell of our identity. Mm-hmm. And I can't cut the collection from, like I said, size 8 to size 20 and be able to put any kind of body shape, gender in my show and celebrate it.
So tell me about that. You started to use men wearing your female
men's
line.
Yeah. Men are wearing women clothes.
Okay.
And I like the subversive side of it. I like the small detail of the fabric sometimes on their skin, because that that sensitivity gives them more power. It's really funny if you put something really, if you put a piece of a woman's wear on a man, he start to look more curious about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really
starts
funny.
To think a little different.
Straight away, he defines himself as one and not anymore part of a of a group.
Yeah. So do you think that there is a room in your future or a space in your future for a gender fluid line ever? Is that a possibility?
But already I think it's gender fluid. My collection, my husband is wearing my clothes.
Is he?
He's a big size 20.
Good.
Girl, my husband.
He's a big size 20 girl. He must love that description.
He loves it.
Really? Yes. So like what pieces would he wear?
He wear the sailor trousers, the men jacket, the blouse. He's
That's
got
amazing.
Some blouse that he wear with jeans. And my husband is quite a fit lad, you know. He's not a skinny, trendy person.
And that's amazing. He can dress differently.
But he really loved that definition of texture on his skin. You know, I think he was bored of what society defined as masculine fabric on him.
But do you find that men's wear is led by, you know, women's wear? I often see things arising in men's lines, maybe a season or two after we've had the fun with them. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Women's wear lead all the time.
It leads, doesn't
lead all the time. The what society is going to move on and what men will move on. But it's quite since, I think, no more than 80 years, I would say, where we have seen the separation between male and female fabric.
Yeah.
Because, and I think since the beginning of fashion being created, I think beginning of last century, where you see that separation, because before that, a silk was a silk, and it was just about social class, that what they could afford. But you never had a fabric different for a male
and
or female.
Women, yeah.
But we start to create it, to redefine control on society.
Now, I won't be so bold as to ask you what size woman you are, but do you ever wear your clothes? Do you ever
Yes, I wear my clothes. I have a tendency to have everything tailor-made for me on my suit.
That's the least you can expect,
I'm close to a size 20.
Oh, are you? Okay. So you can share with your husband. Back to the galaxy dress. And, you know, and I suppose everybody comes back to that because that is that iconic dress.
Yes.
So around 2005, 2006, you could not open a magazine, you could not go online without seeing somebody on a red carpet wearing your dress. It's incredible. I remember reading an article or an interview with you before, and you said you were once at an event where 70 women in the room were wearing it.
It was Selfridges in London.
And they were all wearing the Galaxy dress.
It was a meet and greet with customer with one dress.
Yeah.
And
so
70
funny.
Women wear the same dress
oh
in the
God.
Room. And it was the more powerful moment of my life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, so tell me about, you know, the celebrity following that inspired. Who was the first celebrity that wore the Galaxy dress?
Galaxy dress was Demi Moore.
Wow. Okay. And then every other person.
And they carry on after. And they're still doing
it. We would still be here tomorrow if we started naming them all, but they were everywhere.
It's quite a lot. I think that dress gave me my two lines in the fashion Bible.
I think more than two lines. But it hasn't, longevity isn't something that's easy to maintain or to achieve.
It's the best challenge in life.
Isn't it?
I think, don't you want to be married to the same person for the rest of your life?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's the same thing for me as a fashion designer.
But it comes with highs and lows, and maybe relationships do
but
as well.
But that's the point. That's the best challenge.
Yeah.
I want to be loved by the woman I dress for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny when you see a woman going to buy a younger designer because she wants to spice up her life. It's really disturbing for a designer to go from the bride to the mother of the bride.
It is. It's a tough time in their life. So tell me, what about your relationship with your customer then? Because there is a loyalty there that kind of has lasted over the 20 years. You know them, but you get to meet them a lot, like you're here in Brand Thomas.
I travel a lot. I think part of my success too is the way I was already a foreigner, an alien in London when I started. I was not coming out of St. Martin. I was 36. I was older. I had an education for my father to people opening the door to buy something. Yeah. And that's when I knew what service meant. That's when the first thing I wanted to do is to meet the customer. I started to travel to America to do trunk shows and to bring that kind of culture in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you meet the customer, I remember in New York meeting my first time, some customer from uptown asking me, where are the dress with long sleeve for the bar mitzvah?
Ah.
And from there, you start to say, wow, women never buy clothes just to be superficial. It's practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all the time for a certain purpose, mm-hmm. and they know why and where. And that's changed completely my life of mm-hmm. how I will approach fashion.
Because I was going to ask you that, because you are an artist, you are so creative, but yet as a consumer, women buy for a purpose or for an event. And, you know, we are practical in our approach, you know, by and large. How do you marry that practicality with creativity?
I have just a simple way to visualize it. It's like the double C of Chanel. It's not Coco Chanel. It's creativity and commerciality.
Yeah.
And the interlink. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to be friends with the both side, mm-hmm. to respect the both side.
Mm.
You can't just love the creativity and just want to feed yourself with the commerciality, because you will hate one of the two. Mm-hmm. It's like having two kids. Yeah. They're different, but you love them the same.
You love them both, yeah. So tell me, what's next then for Roland Murray? What's
it's,
next?
It's an amazing. I think, sadly, there is an amazing future, because the world is changing and I'm fighting. I'm trying to involve myself in all the fight against climate crisis.
Yes.
My main concern is single-use plastic in luxury. Okay. Which is really well, since 2 years, I'm pushing the boundaries. There are different projects. We came out with a hanger, a special hanger who goes from factory to retail. The hanger that the customer will never see.
Okay.
You will never see that little black dirty secret we have and go to landfill directly. And in America, just for an example, is the equivalent of 17 Empire State Building every year throw away in landfill of that little black hanger that you will never see.
That's frightening.
And we came out with a marine plastic hanger that is completely recyclable.
Okay.
That's the first fight.
That's amazing.
And that fight is going, sadly for me, in the right direction, because the future is... It's going to be hard.
It is,
in a way.
Yeah, but you need to start it. People like you with an incredible business like this need to be the one to lead that change and to make it happen.
At the moment, when you see the massive transformation of our industry, where the way the consumer buy product, you have that feeling that you want to do good mm-hmm. in the way you buy things, because if you're destroying more, you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you want the people who are creative and producing this object or this clothes, use that creativity to think how to make it good for you.
To because make it
better. If this is good, you will pledge yourself to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think we're entering the years of pledging ourselves one to another.
Mm-hmm. And it's very admirable because, as you say, you travel a lot, you have season after season. So it's great to see that you are so conscious of that and trying to make a change.
That's the only way. You know, I can't wake up anymore in the morning and thinking if I'm creating another outfit is going to destroy the future
does
of a child.
Does it stay there?
You have it straight away. You say, what's the point?
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of darkness to want to be so self-centered that the rest around me doesn't exist, and you know, the sea for me is so important, because what's the point of the dream to walk with your partner in a lovely dress on a beach when what come out of that water is plastic and dead fish?
Exactly.
You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
That dress doesn't have any more magic.
No.
If what's around it is destroyed because of that dress.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to sit down
with me. You're welcome.
It was a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Brand Palmas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Official Brand Palmas on Instagram for more updates.